This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
There we go. Away we go.
Surveillance in progress.
Yeah, basically. Hell. Well, they can survey my hamstring just killing me.
Uh-oh. I mean, is that kiss my ass?
No, yeah. Reference?
It sounds like old man problems.
Oh man, it is. I tell you, I have found a way to lay floor quickly, like vinyl floor quickly. Mm-hmm. But basically, think about doing a hamstring stretch for 4 hours straight, because that's how I slept. Because getting up and down hurts too much. So I just slide across the floor, but it's basically my left leg and like a hamstring, which it doesn't hurt while I'm laying on the floor. It's the next day.
It's getting back up. And while you're in it, you're fine.
Yeah.
Then you get up and you're like, well, okay.
Even the day of, mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt. It's the following day. And when you're driving, you know, I'm glad I had a short drive today, but yeah, you're sitting in a truck and then you go to try to step out of it and you're like, oh, that leg won't hold me at the moment. That hurts.
A little tender. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I did start my first day with a brand new truck and got it. I feel like I'm walking all over again. All the controls are totally different.
Can you not switch remotes?
No.
Oh, they have one.
Of course remote not.
That's programmed for it. I've already asked if they can move like the buttons or anything. They said that would void the warranty.
Oh. Yeah.
That's why I can.
And your response was. And
so if I can explain this to anybody out there, it's like getting in a car crash and then having to learn to walk again. That's exactly how it feels.
That's the worst, because you have to go through that valley of suck where it gets worse before you get better, because you're used to the muscle memory that you had. Mm-hmm. And you can't just hit that button or move that, you know, punch that switch, move that lever. You can't. Or it's backwards.
It's literally backwards.
My uncle had
maybe drink.
What was it? A Hyundai? Okay. Hyundai excavator, I think it was. And it broke, and they brought him out of spare while that one was getting fixed. It's his freaking eye stuff. Yeah, if everyone's wondering, there's a thumb up on the screen because he's special.
Because I did something. Yeah.
Something. Yeah. But they come out, so they switched machines. Well, he'd been using the one, kind of like you, CJ, been using it for years. Got the rental. Got a dick up there now. But he switched it out and he couldn't run an excavator to save his life. And the tech out there is like looking at him. We got banana, peach. What a way to have a conversation. Just
derailing. So,
children, calm down.
Yeah. The tech comes over and goes, is everything all right? And my uncle like you? No, he's like, everything's backwards. I can't run this machine. You're going to have to take it back. Tech goes, give me 10 minutes. They had quick couplers on the bottom of the controls. You unplug them, plug them up. So if you're used to John Deere, Cat, Hyundai, Daewoo, whatever, depending on which machine you were on, they would just switch the hoses around. 15 minutes later, my uncle's like, perfect.
That's awesome.
You know, that's thinking ahead. That's going, hey, we rent to all kinds of people that run all kinds of machinery. We need to make it set up so we can just make it work for them. Because you take a guy that's been running an excavator for umpteen number of hours and then ask him to switch, he won't be able to dig a hole to save his life.
Yeah, it'd be easier just to hand him a shovel.
Yeah. So you trying to learn your controls backwards? Totally. Yeah. I
it still doesn't make sense. all my jobs today, I had to stop at least, I don't know, 30 times and catch myself doing the wrong thing because it doesn't make sense. I mean, I did my jobs fine. I didn't break anything, but I have to constantly stop and think and then remember.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Because it's not muscle memory. Yeah.
And
wait
till that truck breaks down and you have to drive your old one again.
I know when I learned this one, I know three different controls. So I have gone back to the trucks that I ran before and it's fine.
Fine.
It's just like riding different kinds of bikes.
Yeah.
This one's just taking so much longer.
Have you guys talk about bicycles, or actually it'd be a tricycle, wouldn't it? If you try it, what is it? Those sit down ones, what are they called? Incumbent bikes or
recumbent.
Yeah. Recumbent or whatever. Have you ever pedaled one?
I don't remember doing such a thing. It's possible that I mean,
the only three-wheeler I ever did was a tricycle. So
yeah, legit.
But I see so many people on those things anymore. I don't see it from a fitness level.
It's supposed to be easier on people's backs.
Yeah, but are they really getting anything off their lay? It's like I've pedaled them in a gym where you sit down and you do that pedal thing. And I feel like I'm just spinning my legs around and it does nothing.
I have one here. I have a stationary one. Yeah.
Recumbent one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That he got for like $40 or some ridiculous
thing like that. Right.
Yeah.
It's
pretty much just like a bike. I mean, you're just pedaling, it's no different. You're just in a more comfortable position.
But I see what you're saying, Nate. I mean, from a physical workout perspective, a stationary one, right? You can ramp up resistance to make it work. I think if you're, and I don't know, so for all our, folks in the vast BR nation, feel free to chime in and let us know where we're wrong. But I think like if you're in more hilly terrain, mountainous terrain, think San Francisco or think, places like that.
But I'm in Illinois and it's flat.
I know.
So
right. And I don't know that from a resistance perspective, you're really gonna
do anything. Cause most of them have not fat, but overweight people pushing them. So I get the being more comfortable. And if you're out just trolling around and that's your thing, that's all, at least you're doing something physical. So I'm not dinging them because they're doing something. But at the same time, it seems like your return on investment there is just not enough. I see quite a few of them with their little flags going down the road, hoping people don't run over them.
Yeah, there's
actually, I even saw an Amish guy with one.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Amish ride a lot of bicycles, if people didn't know. That's one of their main modes. And I saw one of him, kind of funny because his beard was pushed up. Oh,
yeah, there's some kid around here that rides one and a Make America Great flag on it. It's like, impressive, kid. All right, good for you.
I don't think I would actually buy an actual recumbent bike. I don't think I could ever push myself to do that. So I grew up riding BMX bikes. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you strike me as a BMX.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely not a 10-speed dude.
How about 40 years from now when you're old and frumpy? Would you buy one then? Or will you go for the hoverboard that we're supposed to have?
I just wouldn't ride a fucking bike.
Yeah. You'd be like our our dear leader and fall down while riding a bike.
I'll get a motorized one. Who the fuck are you kidding?
Yeah.
I'll walk. That's my exercise.
Oh man. You know,
it's kind of thinking like, how is walking exercise really though? It is.
It is.
You walk enough.
Yeah, if you walk, well, there's walking and then there's like walking for exercise. Because you can trudge all day long and then you actually just...
If you're at a slow enough pace.
Yeah. Well,
it's still burning calories.
Well,
but you... Are we talking about cardio or... burning calories in a sense, because you're not really raising your heart rate if you're going at a snail's pace, but you're still expending
calories. You're burning, but I'm saying you stabilize. Like, it used to be when we like jog in the military, you'd hit a point, you wouldn't lose any weight, it wouldn't help you cardio-wise or anything, you just stabilized, and then you just, it's like there's an equilibrium there. Same way, you got to push... figure out different ways if you're a runner. You know, you gotta, if you're just doing a treadmill, you gotta either speed up or cause more resistance. Like anything, you gotta switch it up because your body will just get used to it and then it'll go back to you're doing something. Just are you being efficient at it? So, because hopefully they never listen to the podcast. Two people I hope don't listen to the podcast. But I've had the same two people walking outside past my house for, 8 years now? And they either drink more beer than I can guess, but they haven't really gained weight, but they haven't lost any. And they walk every day.
Maybe it's they're just out for a nice stroll, you asshole.
That could be it.
Well, there is one of my neighbors, he goes for a walk and same thing. Like, and he's like, he goes and he's moving it. He seems to be moving at a good clip. Like it's not just a leisurely walk stroll kind of thing. And yeah, he's somewhere along the line, he's consuming more calories than he's expending. So
something.
Yeah.
And beer will do that. Yeah. Beer is a killer on that. Especially after 30.
Like Phil Foster says, gives you man cans.
Yeah. I think before 30, you can get away with it. And then after 30-ish, for guys anyway, for gals, that's a different...
Get them cans.
Yeah. It's well, that's, you know, yeah. Unrelated, but related. This weekend, the girls and I were in a golf tournament. The foursome was the girls and I and my mom. And it was something, this was the rain delay reschedule. So it was supposed to be a month or something ago, but it rained. And so it got moved. And it was, I don't know, it's always interesting to people watch. There was like 36 or so. They had a pretty decent turnout. I was impressed. And kids from the age, you know, there was as young as I think, you know, 6, 5, 6, 7.
Wow. Like,
and they what they did though is they set up so they had
and tees. They did it better than you did, didn't they? The little 6-year-old.
Well, probably.
Because they were about the same height. So you got about the swing.
Yeah, but because of their age, they were basically 4 feet away from the green. So that's why. So there was so many holes where, like, where the girls would tee off. Like, so they had, for adults, they had two tees, men's and women's. And then for the kids, depending on your age, they had three different markers.
Huh.
And those would be more out in the fairway. So if you're 9 and under, you're the closest to the green. If you're 10 to 13, I think, you're in the middle, and then 13 and up, you're in this back marker. But there was a couple holes, even my mom and I, like, we couldn't even, like, we barely got it past where the girls were teeing off. And that's assuming we hit a really good drive. So, but in a way, I think they designed it that way on purpose. So that way you use the kids' ball, because it was a best ball sort of thing. So whoever hit it furthest, you take that one, or whoever has the best shot, you take that one. And then whoever has the next best shot, you take that. And so that was cool. So I think it was built that way to purposely give the kids some holes where you kind of have to take
their
yeah. the kids shot. So cool. That's it's cool that they built in, but there's like so many holes where my mom and I, even my mom was like, do we even need to hit this? Because the girls, like, I can get X past where the girls are going to tee off. And it's like, yeah, I can get up there too, but they're going to hit it farther than our ball just because of where they're teeing off, kind of thing. So, butter. Yeah, I mean, it's that's, but it was lots of fun. It was super hot, but it was lots of fun.
I'd have to show up with the card that says I'm 8 years old. Here's yeah. my ID
and crayon.
In crayon. I can only go off at the age of an 8 year old.
But it was,
you know, you're 6 foot two, but I'm 8 inside.
Yeah. I identify.
Fine, there, that's the word. I identify as an 8 year old.
But I will say, there's one of those in the group behind us. There was one of these kids that was young, and I don't know if he did this the whole time, but he drilled it to the green while we were on it. And I don't think they expected us or expected him to even hit it that far.
Right.
And it rolled up next to us. And I'm thinking, okay, seriously, you shouldn't be hitting into us. But then like the way they were reacting, it's like, even at a distance, it seemed like they were shocked. He even got it as close because he was such a wee little tyke. So
it's a prodigy. It's like,
yeah, like that's the awesome.
Next Tiger Woods.
But it was interesting. I will say it's interesting watching. I mean, everybody looked the part because you have to wear polos and golf gear and all that sort of stuff. Some of the dudes
golf pants.
I had shorts. Everyone was in shorts because it was like 97. So,
fuck.
Yeah. 95, something like that. It was ridiculous. But it was interesting. Like, there's some guys that are way out of shape, but God love them, they were out there. Golf's a sport where it doesn't matter. But you know, some dudes are cracking beers already. It's like, you're with your kid, like, what? And I there was one, actually two sets of dads and kids, and they both basically wore matching outfits, matching golf polos and shorts. Had caps, and I swear this one dad spent 20 minutes getting all his, well, I don't even know what he was doing, but he was getting ready for what felt like ever. I'm like, he's getting this out, then he's getting these out, then he gets his tees, he gets this, he's got, you know, this is his hobby and he spends a shit ton of time and money on it. And God love you if you can. You can do that, but holy land. It's like, what are you doing? Like, we're just golfing for fun. And
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
I spent all this money. You're getting wrecked.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't care if it's a kid's event.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck all of you. No, but it was lots of fun. It was, but it's just crazy watching people, like people watching. It's people with money. You know, I don't know. And being a parent and seeing how some of the parents were interacting with their kids, it's kind of cringeworthy, especially after having, you know, we've had Anthony on the podcast, we've talked fatherhood and some of those sorts of things. So it's kind of funny to see some of the things that were happening. It's like, you're just here to have fun. Like, let's, at one point, one of since my mom volunteers with this organization, at one point the guy who put on the tournament snuck some water balloons to the girls, and so they were chasing me around a green and I got shelled. So that was fun. It was a good time.
I don't know, it sounds like the day to get nailed with some water to
cool. Yeah, oh yeah, it was.
I may have just been like, okay, go ahead, you know, the martyr scene.
Yeah, well, I was from trying to
what
make
was it,
it
platoon? Was yeah. it platoon where he throws his hands up and they ended up taking? Yep. Yeah,
yeah. Before but it was a good time. We had fun was to be had, so and it was so it's a good time.
Nice.
CJ's that munching night. Away. What are you eating, CJ? Anything good?
I took way too big of a bite. Roast and potatoes.
Nice.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Are you guys picky on your potatoes, or do you just buy potatoes? I actually have noticed a difference between Idaho potatoes and whatever the other name brand potatoes is. Talking about potatoes.
No, I think they all kind of taste the same.
I mean, it depends on what I'm like. Normally, I don't really care, like russets and baking potato. I know there's baking potatoes versus just potatoes. The only thing is like the redskin potatoes. Sometimes those are a little bit more waxy. Like,
yeah, I haven't gotten those. Don't cook up well.
Normally, I mean, they're more they're more to me. I think of more like potato salad-y. Something like that. But normally I don't give a shit. A potato is a potato.
It sounds nasty.
I like the more devil's eggy type potato salad. If I'm gonna do all that potato shit
goes
salad.
To the trash.
I'm with CJ. But this is why
I can't CJ remember and the I last don't... time I had it. So yeah.
But we don't me and CJ don't eat pretty food.
Macaroni salads is extravagant as I go.
Yeah.
That's the shit that goes in the trash for me.
We got coleslaw. Coleslaw eaters?
No.
I've
had a couple that were decent.
Wow, this is why we get along. It's because we
it's
really
possible for me to eat coleslaw.
I've never liked coleslaw.
To do so voluntarily. Salad.
Any of that stuff.
If it's on my plate, I'll take a bite to see how bad it is.
Or sometimes
I'm not going to specifically put it on my
plate. Go out of your way. You know,
when you try to feed coleslaw to a dog that will eat anything and they turn their nose up, that tells you as a human, you should not eat it. And it doesn't. Yeah. You want to know if food is really consumable for a human? Find a dog that will eat anything. And if they won't, no human should eat it either. And coleslaw goes into that.
Would mean I would have to buy it. So,
But if I go to a restaurant and order barbecue or something and they throw a cup on the plate or the platter, I'm like, CJ, I'll give it a try. Because it's like, okay. It looks like KFC, like just in my head, what I remember as a kid, the KFC coleslaw that, you know, when my mom or dad would get Kentucky Fried Chicken back in when it was still called Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Is it just KFC now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They changed
because it's hip, you know.
Yeah.
It's with the kids.
And you can't say fried anymore because they have the baked and whatever else.
People get baked chicken from there.
Yeah.
They're grilled.
I don't know. It's all nasty.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for fried chicken, though. I mean,
KFC. I like fried chicken, but not their fried chicken.
But it's...
You know, the best part of KFC is actually the, like, original batter. Like, I don't care for,
the original recipe.
The original recipe. It's like, I could eat the skin off of it, and I didn't like the chicken part. For whatever spices, flavors, it's like, deep fried, slimy, greasy. When you're in a greasy mood, that skin.
And then,
like 3 o'clock in the morning.
In bed. I know what you're talking about.
But that stuff would go down, but it's like, I could never eat the chicken part. It was like, I just want the skin. And I don't even care for chicken. So
I think, Colonel Sanders' original idea was to sell the recipe, not turn it into what he ended up doing. He's like, here's a recipe for very damn good fried chicken. Would you be willing to buy it? And went through 1,000 people and they said no. And then finally he
started a restaurant.
Yeah. Finally he said, screw it. I'm going to show you all how to do it. And whether it's right or not, or what, whether you like it or not, I mean, you know, props to him. But I think the original idea was to just try and sell the recipe. And, you know, and now that I think of it, I wonder, you know, how much he was asking for, because what he ended up making from it and what he was originally trying to sell it for, I wonder what he was trying to do and how much he would have made relative to.
Doesn't somebody else own KFC now?
Oh, yeah. Well, they own a bunch of them because
isn't it Yum Brands, which is part of Pepsi?
Yeah, but it's all like there's places that it's KFC, Pizza Hut, /
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. So, yeah.
Or Long John Silver's.
Oh, that place just.
I remember when they first opened and we'd go there. But yeah, I could. I'm like you. You can smell it.
I want to say at one time they actually sold real fish. In the very early days. When did Long John Silver? That's a good thing to look up. There's people wondering about this, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Long John Silver's. What do you say? Started? That's not the word I'm looking for.
Founded.
That's the word I'm looking for. Let's see. There's a link. History. 69. Founded in August
18, 1969. In Lexington, Kentucky.
I was born 5 years later. So by the time I was like 10.
I was born a year later.
So maybe the that'd be like late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. I wasn't old enough to know the difference. So I can't say if I actually ate, but I'm guessing they had real fish at the beginning. But here's a point. How does a fish place start in Lexington, Kentucky? Shouldn't a fish place start like on a coast?
Well, it's more fried fish usually in the country.
Yeah.
Like on the coast, they just have fresh fish. They don't fry it.
Yeah. Was previously the Cape Codder Seafood Carry Out Restaurant.
I don't think you go to Maine for a fish fry, though.
No, they probably have too good of fish there. So, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, CJ. I probably river fish fried up. But somewhere along the line, it became processed something. I mean, I'm sure
it's all carb.
I'm sure there's some fishy goldfish products in it now, but
like fish,
they've closed down all the ones around here.
Yeah, there's
they're closing fast. Are they even in business still?
I don't know. You know,
that's a good point.
Them and Arby's don't make sense.
I agree. I never cared for Arby's. Whatever they sell that they call roast beef is another one of those things that's like, I almost think the roast beef is like processed, smashed intestines or something that they, you know, kind of like how they make hot dogs or whatever, and they just shape it to look like roast beef.
It's thin slices of hot dog.
Yeah. They taste like crap, and their sauce is horrible.
The cheese sauce does not taste like cheese.
Their barbecue sauce,
yeah. The original recipe of, like, because they changed it somewhere along the way. I remember as a kid going to Arby's, and it, like, you know, back
was
when
it
they
actually
had,
good, or was it we were just too young to realize it was bad?
Sure.
I don't know. That's why I'm wondering, even on the long.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was just terrible, but we were too young to know any better, and it was just not eating at home. And so whether it was McDonald's or Arby's, even Long John Silver's, like there is this, you know, I don't know. It's just like, oh my God, there's this.
Here's a funny one. My dad loved Wendy's as he got older. If we went out to eat to get burgers, mom and pop place, it would be Wendy's. Are you dying on us, Jimmy?
No, it's like my eye is bugging the shit out of me, and I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You got something. You gotta
stop looking at Nathan.
Fuck you. And may the horse that you rode in on fuck you also.
May you eat a satchel of Richards. Or ingest a satchel of Richards.
But what I find funny is after all this time, as I got older and got eaten all kinds
Wendy's
of paper.
Wendy's is your place?
Wendy's is my place. It's like, I can go in there. It's the closest thing that you can get to like a decent burger that actually looks like hamburger. Yeah. And, you know, it's not full of breading or anything else. Steak and Shake pissed me off. They were like my second, but they pissed me off so bad I haven't been back. And it's like, But theirs is all right, too.
Regional. I mean, it used to be a local thing, and then it became a regional thing called Runza, and they make stuffed sandwiches. So it looks like a giant eclair, but it's meat. So it's a hamburger bun. Think of that looks more like an eclair, but they have ground beef, onion, and cabbage stuffed inside, and they have various iterations of that. It may sound terrible, but it's really tasty.
That sounds good.
The cabbage is where you got me.
No.
You don't even know. You almost don't even notice.
If it's mixed in, right, they call those things something else.
And I forget what they are. It's a more of a Germany kind of.
Yeah, it's like a meat pie. And the first time I had one, I was like told it had cabbage in it, and it like added to the flavor and taste. It's almost like one of those things you put in there and it gets cooked out. Like it's there.
You don't even notice it.
Yeah. But it makes it taste better. It's balances it out.
But their burgers are actual legit burgers. Like it's, so. And they're half pound or quarter pound. Yeah.
Burgers. And price wise, all the quote fast food is the same price as mom pa type place or a restaurant at this point. I was standing behind someone at Wendy's the other day, and for four people, their order came to $72. I'm like, I didn't even know that's possible, but I kind of looked at some. If you get the meal and then you make it the large and add a couple Frosties in there and everything else, I'm like,
you kids are getting water cups. Get the Sprite when they're not looking.
That's I was thinking there's a local place for burgers, and it's a fourth generation place owner, and literally the kitchen is, you know, the size of a closet, really. And all they make is primarily burgers. They have a couple of sandwiches and other things, but you go there for burgers. And, you know, it's this one Stella, it's called Stella's. And back in the day, Stella would cook burgers out of her house and sell them. And then it became a thing. So they have to take you guys there. Pretty good. Yeah.
Well, really, a kitchen doesn't take up that much space. There's a lot of small. Well, look at like food wagons or food trucks. Some of the best food comes off food trucks, and it's basically a griddle and some storage.
A little prep area. Yeah, you don't need much.
So,
all right. So, what do we got?
All right. Well, let's start with this. Is anxiety a good thing?
Yes.
And no. There we go. We answered it. Yes and no.
Next question. No, I mean, it can certainly be a good thing, right? If you're anxious about something, nervous, whatever that energy is, it in a way that's your body's natural response to say, hey, I'm ready for something. Like something is a big deal, or it's not going to be easy, or it's not, you know, there's it doesn't have to be this mountainous challenge. Like even the girls performing in a recital, even me when I was their age doing that, you know, you get nervous and you get anxious. Yeah. Because you want to do good. Like you care about what's going on. You got to learn
to channel that anxiety. That's exactly.
But it's basically you're alert. You're right. Your brain's firing all over the place. So I think it's certainly a good thing in that respect, but too much of that can be a bad thing.
I think if you stay in a anxiety, I want to add pre-tense, post-tense letter, like
anxious.
Yeah.
Anxiousness.
Anxiousness. Anxious? Yeah. If you're an anxiety-ish,
pre-anxious.
Yeah.
If you're constantly there and you can't let yourself go, that's when it becomes bad. It's like you shouldn't have anxiety for 12 hours straight or something, or days, or just be like a little bit before something, whatever. But if you have a job interview, say on Friday, you shouldn't have anxiety all the way. You should have anxiety the morning of, like the hour before you go. You should be prepped, ready. Don't be happy, have anxiety for the whole week of what's going to happen on Friday. And this is only Monday. It's like you got 5 days to get there. Worry about that when you get to it. You know, I think that's what tears, where we look at bad anxiety. It's like
stay in that perpetual motion. It's like a perpetual motion of fear, fear, fear.
Yeah.
You can't stop thinking about it because you're scared, you're anxious, and you can't get out of your head. But
turn CNN off. That's the first thing you do. Turn CNN off. Don't watch CNN. Yeah,
or turn Twitter and Facebook. Was there something in particular you were thinking of when you came up with this, CJ, or is this?
This was not mine. Was it?
Oh, was it yours?
It wasn't mine. Maybe it was mine. I don't know.
Could have been mine. I don't remember. How long has this been in there?
It's a while. We're still playing cleanup.
Well, I mean, I could say that for most of the day, I was quite anxious just because I was a little bit nervous to run this truck. And I wouldn't say that I was consumed by it, but I knew it was there because, I mean, everybody's dealt with anxiety. I don't care who you are. And it's an innate thing for humans to survive. It's like we have to have some kind of anxiousness to be able to get away from danger and all those things. But a lot of people just kind of bow out to it. They're like, well, I'm scared. I can't do it. I'm just not going to. That's a good way to keep it building. If you face that thing that's making you anxious, it's going to be terrible the first few times. But over time, it's just going to kind of relieve itself.
Yeah.
Those first few times are never fun. Right. Like I said, running this truck is not fun. It's making me pissed off. But
because you have to think about something.
Yeah, it's something I don't enjoy doing. Learning how to do something.
Yeah, but see, I think I don't know if you would be anxious all day though.
I was anxious that I thought I was going to fucking hurt somebody.
Well, maybe at first, but after a while, I think that switches. I think anxiety in your case, I think that would be like. I think a lot of times other emotions get blamed for anxiety. Like your anxiety turned to frustration. Like when you were told, hey, you're getting a new truck today, there's anxiety of, okay, I got to figure this out, make sure it goes. But after that, like first job or driving to the first thing, I think that switched to frustration because it's like, well, I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to do, because you kept going. If you'd let the anxiety like continue on,
I wouldn't have done it.
You wouldn't have done it. So I think at first it was anxiety. And I think that's where some people get caught up on their perpetual, you know, they just get caught in that circle. It's like, okay, you got to step past that. Then it turns to frustration, anger. That anxiety leads you, it makes you get faster to a, what's the word I'm looking for? It like takes you to a higher threat level. Mm-hmm. It doesn't downplay it. You just get more pissed. Well, when I hit this button, it should go up and it's going freaking down. You know, that's not anxiety at that point. That's just pure anger, you know?
That's fair.
So I think that
changes. Are people scared of what comes after anxiety?
I think so.
So it's
that's how they get stuck in the loop. They're not sure what will happen next.
It's kind of like knowing that somebody's going to hit you, but they don't do it. But you'd rather them just get it over with because the anxiety for the buildup is worse than actually the action. Yeah. You ever notice that? Like your big brother acts like they're going to hit you. You're flinching constantly. But if they would just hit you, you're like, it's not that bad. But just knowing that they're going to hit you fucks with your head.
Yep. That reminds me. Talk about big brother. Never drink and drive. That I'm putting this out there. Not saying I had.
Breakthrough.
I may have had imbibed a beer or two. Maybe.
Once.
But I was riding home with a buddy. His wife was on another bike. So there was three of us. And we're cruising home. Nice big dinner. Fast Eddie's. If you've never been to that in Alton, it's a great place. But we're headed back. And this dude cuts me off something fierce. To where I'm locking up my bike. You know, we're probably doing 45, 50. And I had to lock it up. And I was sliding. I may have given a few gestures out there to the fact of I was not happy with him. Which said guy at the next light decided that he would be smart and get out of the thing. And where you say big brother, he was a big dude. But I was relaxed. I was riding. He pissed me off. And I was sitting there and he was trying to do the big, you know, I'm going to cold cock you. I'm going to punch you off your bike type thing. And I sat there and stared at him. And the first thought was in my head was, he might get me if I put my kickstand down. And we got my buddy's wife behind me, so I really shouldn't start a fight. And then all of a sudden, he looked at me, looked behind me, and started running for his car. That's because he was paying attention to me. My buddy had already, as soon as he got out of the car, threw his kickstand down, hopped off, and was coming to cold cock him. And I was like, But back to, you know, the flinching, it was like, there was no flinching for me. It's like, if you hit me and my bike rolls over, this is going to be a bad day, but that's when you got to have a good friend to have your back. I hadn't thought about that in years. That was a long time ago. That was a checkbox that I should not have made happen. That was, one of those moments of, you know, we were the bigger people. But anybody that thinks they can just get out and take bikers on,
you're a special kind of stupid.
Yeah, you are. You know, you're just, it's like, okay, you don't like bikers. Well, you're the one in the wrong because you almost cut the guys off. But yeah. Oh, whatever we do, don't get talking about truck driving for the past week of idiots. That's all I'll say. Kind of the thing.
Talking about anxiety.
Oh, man. It was a really, really bad week for that. But yeah.
Yeah, so, how going back to the topic, how often do we, the collective, let that anxiety overtake us? And like CJ was saying, you just kind of shut down rather than, and I came across something, I don't know if it's a quote from somebody or some, you know, proverb type, you know, wise statement kind of thing, but when you run towards whatever thing you fear or that's causing you for our purposes, something that's causing you to be anxious or have anxiety, right? When you run towards those things, they tend to run away. Meaning when you lean into them, when you address them, when you take them head on, they tend to go away because you're at least doing whatever thing it is, whether it's performing or it's a job interview or learning how to use a new truck and a new crate, like whatever the thing is, it's meeting somebody, whether it's a business discussion or a date, like, you know, you're anxious. It's easy to stay at home and stay in your basement, but fuck that, right? That's life is out on that edge, right?
Do you think men or women have anxiety more?
So I want to say women just because, but
I would say men.
I think it might be the same, but how we deal with them is different.
Yeah. I think it happens more often to men because a lot of times we realize everything kind of falls on us. And initially we get that anxious twitch, but a lot of times we realize it doesn't matter how anxious we are. We have to push through. I think there's a lot more on the other side that kind of fall into it.
I like that. I agree with that. I think women get stuck in anxious mode longer.
I'm seeing it currently.
Kind of like what we were talking. You know, men will turn frustrated, mad. They'll turn that anxiety. Even if they don't recognize it, it gets turned into forward momentum where women will sit and dwell on something.
Mm. It's been bad these last 2 weeks with her exams coming up for her licenses. It's been driving me nuts. Because you can just tell, like, the mood changes. And she gets, like, some kind of anxious mood. I'm just like, either you're going to be good or you're not. We'll figure it out.
But, did you ask her if she was knocked up? Well, if she's in, you know, all those hormones and stuff going on at the same time. Hey, we're still butting if you're going to knock her up before you actually tie the knot or not.
I did not ask her. She's not throwing up, so we're good.
that's what we're going off of.
And that's all we're going to say about that. That's hilarious.
If C-Day's dad is listening to this one, can you ask us for?
Ask for our game's still strong.
Oh, hell. Well, I figured this one fit in there along with this. Emotional reaction versus rational response.
Okay, now we're all quiet.
Are we giving examples or is this a question?
Well, how often it's like, should you, you know, something gets thrown out there, say either news wise or in a group you're affiliated with or anything, and it's like you start hearing rational responses. Here's a good example. The good old Will Smith thing when he goes and slaps Chris Rock. So many people jumped on YouTube podcast or whatever and just threw out emotional reactions one way or the other for whoever their favorite was. And then later on, some guys like Bill Burr, comedian-wise, they come out with a rational response, make fun of both of them type thing, and say who the better man is. You know, it's like, how many times do people just let their emotions respond to X instead of breathing for a moment and going, what's the rational? That's how I view this, CJ. Does that help?
No.
No. I think a lot of people get stuck on emotional reactions.
I think it's easier.
Yeah, where we should be giving it rational.
You don't have to think to be emotional.
This is true. Thinking is,
rational.
It is.
Actually thinking through things of what it's kind of like taking criticism. If somebody's telling you that you're doing something wrong, the emotional way is to say, fuck you, I know what I'm doing. The rational thing is to actually listen to what they're saying and say, yeah, you have good points. Maybe I am doing something wrong and I'll try again, try that way next time.
Or even to say, no, I don't think you're correct. And here's the reasons why, here's how I see that. Like there's a rational argument to be made.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We've tried your way 9 times.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked in any of the countries. It's called communism. Oh.
Yeah, but I haven't. We haven't tried my version of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, you know, you said it right. Like, you captured, I think, what I was thinking with this, right? It doesn't matter the thing or the topic or it could be anything from workouts and diets to politics and the economy and governments and all those sorts of things, like movies, TV shows, music,
the color of the sky.
There seems to be this visceral emotional response, and there are reasons for that, legitimate and not so legitimate, that we could certainly talk about, but it is interesting. Like, there's such an emotional response to everything, and then like it's like people mistake feeling for thinking, and those two things aren't the same at all. But
I feel you're wrong.
Yeah. See, exactly my point. That's, yeah, it's like I feel this. It's like, well,
how do you think?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what do you believe? And, well, yeah, but this feels wrong. Well, sure, it may feel
your
wrong.
Opinion.
Yeah.
What? No, not someone else's. What's your opinion?
What do you really think about this thing? Oh,
or they have an emotional response and you go, well, what do you think about that? Do you feel that it's wrong? Yes, but because they're carrying the party line of whoever. Those really crack me up. Okay, so you know this is deep down inside, you know this is wrong. But your emotional response is to say they were right. All right. Closing the oil fields off was a good idea.
Yeah. Felt right.
It felt right to do that. But yet now you're crying because our fuel costs have doubled.
Yeah.
Now I'm in my fields again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't feel right. But yeah.
Felt good at first. It doesn't feel good anymore.
Well, even something more mundane, right? Where say somebody needs to leave their job. It's a dead end job, or, you know, they're not excited, or there's something about that they shouldn't be doing it anymore, but they keep, but it's easier sort of to bitch about having the job that I have. Like, I was thinking of somebody in college where, you know, I was working retail and this other dude was working retail too. And he was bitching about how he was, and I was a store manager and I was making good bank. So it's like, hey, I'm solid. The money I'm making is worth any hassle. But he was, you know, wasn't, and he kept talking. It's like, just quit. Well, okay, then keep working there. Well, yeah, but it sucked. And it's like, you know, so he knew he needed to leave, and eventually he did. And sadly went off to learn how to become a pilot. Got a job as a pilot. Then that airline,
was a turn.
that airline folded. So he's following his dreams.
Turn of events.
He's following his dreams and totally got shit on by fate. But
it's a Shyamalan twist.
but how many people, right, are stuck in jobs like that where they know they should leave, want to leave, they're not looking for the same outcome, but that ultimately befell this particular person. But they should leave. That
get situation. A pilot job at some. I mean, once you're a pilot, you should be able.
He got on somewhere else. I don't know where.
But still, that's comical. Awesome.
But he stopped talking to me after a while because I kept having the same conversation with him. Well, then quit. Well, right. I don't want to quit because of blah, blah, blah. Then don't. And just stop bitching to me about it. Yeah.
You know,
but how many people? Yeah. But that's where I was going, CJ. It's like, how many men, women are in those positions where they know they need to do something, but they don't because there's some feeling that ties them. You know, I don't want to, I feel bad for this, or I feel this, or I feel that. And it's like, no, just do the damn thing.
A lot of people feel like they owe companies more than they really do. You don't owe them jack shit.
Not anymore. Not at one time.
Well, are we talking about big companies or little small mom and pop?
I'm talking about any company anymore. You know, at one time, there was that loyalty factor. And I think that loyalty factor dropped off about 15, 20 years ago. There was a certain thing where you could make it and get ahead in a company. But somewhere along the line, when it switched from the only way you get a raise is if you threaten to leave or you leave to go someplace else, that's what screwed it all up. It's like, okay, you're hiring new guys in at a higher rate than what I have, and I've been here for 10 years. Something's wrong with that mindset, and it's gone across the board. So it's like, okay, but yeah, I think at one time when pensions were like tied to a company, that there was more loyalty to it then. But now that they've outsourced all of that, there's zero loyalty. No company cares about you. And that's not saying they ever did in the first place, but I think at one time there was more of a loyalty factor. But I mean, if you look at the history of the unions, though, that would contradict that also. You know, maybe there's never been a good loyalty factor. Now I got to think about it. I'm trying to think back through some jobs or something. The one steel mill that was non-union that I worked as a contractor for, that place had a whole bunch of loyal guys because they didn't want to go union because they made bank. They only worked 15 days a month. They made ungodly amounts of money and, you know, was like one of the best mills around. That has some loyalty to it just because they're taking care of the guys. I think that would play into it. If your company's taking care of you, there's a little bit, I don't know, lost my train of thought on that one. But it comes down to, you know, rationally, why am I in this? And you're saying careers, and talking about men and women, Jimmy, I'm thinking about relationships. How many people are stuck because they're in a relationship because of an emotional reaction to everything instead of just talking out in a rational, you know, way and going, this really is not going to work. Yeah. We tried. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward and figure things out. What are you listening to?
That sounds good. Sound of porn. Come on now.
That did sound like porn.
That's not, it's not. Believe it or not, that's not what it was, but.
Well,
yeah. Okay.
Well, if it's a sex tape, it's not technically porn, right, CJ? If right. It's a personal sex tape.
If you're watching your own dick. I've always wanted to see a third person view myself. Damn, I have a good stroke game.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was watching, CJ. And you do have good stroke game.
Thank you. It's all in the hip thrust.
I don't want to see either one of you stroke game. You know, there's a good thing that I have cut all that out of my life because if I was ever watching some and I realized that was one of my buddies, I would be done for. I'd be like, I'd be screenshotting it and just sending it constantly. Like, really?
Nice cock.
Why do your balls look so shriveled? Do you wax or shave?
Well, you know, going back to what, like, long ago we were talking about in the locker room, where there's old dudes that, you know, walk around with, you know, everything just jangling out there. What would be super awkward if you go, hey, you look familiar.
That dude that has a tattoo on his ass. And you're in the gym and you're like, I recognize that tattoo. You were doing Debbie the other night, weren't you? Yep. Although, sold 183,000 copies.
You said tattoo on somebody's ass, and I was immediately thought of Billions and Wags when he gets Yosemite Sam tattooed. And X is like, is that you? Like, he starts to say it. He's like, I was a fan. Like, anyway.
Yeah. It would have to be distinct, wouldn't it? Oh, that'd be...
I got to restart that show. I totally lost it.
There's a clip I saw of the character Taylor Mason, but she's dressing down some of the Axe employees. It's like season five or season, I think it's even season six, but it's cold. Like, just what she says and how she says it is so cold. Awesome. It's like, cause she's ripping people.
Is and the she's next like season out for free?
Not yet.
On Amazon Prime, because they were. It was on Amazon, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Just the. It's still the first four that are free, okay. But this is a clip on YouTube. But she's like, you know, she leans into. It's like, you know who trained me? You saw him train me. So what? You know what makes you think I give a fuck about blah 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 blah? I'll send you the link. It's an awesome little
nice
exchange. But now that we got derailed because.
Messages.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Messages. Uh-huh. Sure.
No, it's
you have messages. To share with the class.
Later.
Yeah. Messages. That's that what? Not TikTok. That's that FaceTime. Yeah. a video message. That's what I'm trying to think of.
patreon.com/brnation.
We'll talk about
all the details.
You know, there's one thing from the Jetsons that have made it to here is the video conferencing that they had.
Yes. Still no flying cars.
And they even did the thing where, you know, their hair and makeup thing where you almost put a face with all the filters and stuff. Now they have that. Yeah. But absolutely. Yet we still, you're right, do not have flying cars. We're going to have on it, drones people. That will deliver packages and we'll still not have. They need to
cars
get
cars that can drive themselves.
If they really want me to get behind this whole electric car movement, they need to make them so they fly like 30 feet in the air across, you know, houses. I'll run down the highway. I'll stick to whatever roads or whatever. I want a flying car. Something.
Yep.
I want the Jetson version of it. Yeah. Need a flying car. All right.
Now that we got totally derailed.
Yeah. Yeah, wherever sorry we were at. Be glad that we're moving on.
Yeah.
All right. Should you take advice from someone who hasn't accomplished something you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, there is a post, a social media post, and it's talking about success, subjective judgments or subjective things about, I'm trying to paraphrase it to protect the innocent, but basically, you know, what we think of wisdom, you know, there's a line here that says wise people are unsuccessful in quote unquote visible terms. And to me, it's all academic, right?
Yeah. So, you know, who was it? Was it Schwarzkopf? It was the Russian coach for wrestling. I think it was. If you just looked at the guy, no wrestling himself, no records. He didn't win any Olympias. And don't quote me on this. I think it was in wrestling. It might have been in lifting. But where if you looked at his accomplishments, he didn't accomplish anything personally. If you looked at his accomplishments as a coach, he accomplished things because he coached people. He himself didn't look like a wrestler.
Yeah.
He himself was fat and overweight, whatever, but he knew how to coach. So if he was trying to tell me how to wrestle, yeah, I would listen to him. Why? Because he has all these guys that he helped coach to win. Well, so to me, that falls in, that's a visible term. You know, to me, yeah. He may have not been able to wrestle his way to the top himself, but he was able to coach. Well, how many bodybuilders don't have bodybuilder coaches? And CJ, since you just got back.
Yeah, I saw the question.
Okay.
There are bodybuilding coaches. You're talking about bodybuilding coaches that I haven't bodybuilded or made the pros.
There are coaches out there that aren't full-fledged, you know, behemoth bodybuilders, but they've coached guys. Okay, but their wisdom comes in that they figured out how to coach guys and figured out what worked.
I will say that there are a lot of coaches that were never genetically advanced. They were bodybuilders, and then they realized, I don't have what it takes. It doesn't matter how many drugs, how hard I do. It doesn't matter. So they realize I got to be perfect with this stuff, and they start experimenting with themselves. And then they realize, like I said, they realize that they don't have what it takes. So they started helping other guys. So these guys have years and years of experience.
Which I think that's where the accomplishment comes in. So it's back to many wise people are unsuccessful, invisible terms. I don't think that I disagree with that.
Usually teachers are the people that couldn't do it at the highest level, but knew how to do it at the highest level. If that makes
necessarily,
sense.
No, I disagree with that. Teachers, a lot of teachers are career students. If you were a student, you went up through grade school, high school, you went to college, got your PhD, and you turned around and you started training people or teaching people the stuff out of the books that you learned. Really, you're just a career student that's regurgitating other people's information. One, they may not have been able to make it in the actual career field. Or two, they didn't even want to work that hard, so they figured out they could get a job regurgitating the information that they already learned, but they have no practical knowledge. Yeah,
well, there's a difference between a good teacher and a bad teacher. And you're talking about the bad teachers right now. It's just people that can regurgitate it.
They can memorize and regurgitate information where a good teacher actually went out.
They had a passion for it.
Did it. Yeah.
They might have been able to do it. Maybe they weren't the best because there was things holding them back, like outside. Like I said, with bodybuilding, a lot of them just didn't have the genetics. It wasn't there. They realized that, but they had the passion best for
teachers,
it.
Though those are the ones that went and
kind of did it.
Did it one way or the other.
But a lot of the worst ones, the worst teachers are the people that are at the top. Because they don't know how to show somebody else. They just know how to do it. And a lot of the best people in like sports, they did it differently because they perfected it in their own way. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods couldn't fucking teach people how to golf like him. It's impossible. Because you would have to show somebody's basics. You think that the best can show people basics? They don't even remember what the basics are, really.
Well, I think of it like this. I can read a book on how to start a fire with flint and steel. Mm-hmm. I can read that book. I can memorize it. And then I can teach you how to start a book basically by regurgitating that information. And then you turn around and you could teach Jimmy G that. But in reality, does anyone know how to start a fire with flint and steel?
No.
You take someone like me that not only did I read a book, I had several people show me, I practiced it, and then I taught people how to do it. And I have all the materials. So if you wanted to learn how to start a fire with flint and steel, I could teach you how to do that. To me, you know, it's like, hey, I can show you practical knowledge beyond just talking about it. Now, is learning how to start a fire with flint and steel a logical good thing that everyone should know how to do? Absolutely, because it's a basis that can set it up for starting other fires, you know, for multiple of good reasons, hopefully no bad ones. But to me, that there's the difference between in this question. It's like if all I did was read a book and teach you, and then you taught Jimmy G, that's not a wise man.
Yeah.
You're just, but now, okay.
Wisdom is gained through experience, right?
Yeah.
So, or at least that's the way I think of it. So, sure. So going to this particular example of starting a fire, right? Having to figure it out and what works when or what condition, you know, from being cold or rainy or whatever the situation is and what you need to find and what you need to do and all that sort of stuff. Right. Then when you're teaching CJ and I or anybody else how to do it, it's like, okay, here's how you start a fire with flint and steel. And okay, now let's get some wet whatever. And then here's what you do. Or you would be able to throw those things out. Now here we're in ideal conditions that we're starting this fire, but realize you could be in the dead of winter out in the forest somewhere, or your car breaks down. And so you pull off to the side of the road or whatever, or, you know, whatever circumstances that you've experienced in your time, whether it's camping, all the times that you've started fires, you could throw that in there, which is experience that CJ and I may not have had. Right. So then, right then it's, you know, so there's something to be said for that lived experience of what you had to go through to do that. It's like, you can't just read a book and then tell us about it.
I don't think you can get wisdom. I say this tongue in cheek. I think it's hard to get wisdom from a book.
Yep.
I think you have to have a certain experience level. You can get ideas, thoughts, you know. I'm trying to think of it. CJ, what's, and I'm back to bodybuilding because it's such an easy thing. Mm-hmm. Who's the nutritionalist? It just,
fuck, now that you say it,
skinny blonde guy. It's like I can picture him. He's called
Chris Aceto.
Yeah. I think he's a good example of this. This guy coaches, he does the nutrition. He helps a lot of bodybuilders out and stuff. But if you look at him, he's a skinny, scrawny dude that you would never, okay. And I'm going back to, he could write a book.
He did.
He did. But in his book, it would give you ideas and tips, but it's not really giving you wisdom. To actually get the wisdom, you'd have to go work with him personally.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where a lot of people actually
test it out.
Well, yeah, test it, but then that's your wisdom coming into effect, not that person's wisdom. I'm saying reading his book and doing some of the stuff wouldn't necessarily say he was a wise man. It would just be like, here's his stuff, where you almost have to get to the person themselves to actually gain that wisdom. Like Arnold's book of bodybuilding. There's a lot of good tips, a lot of interesting things, written probably by some really wise guys besides him. But at the end of the day, it's not actual wisdom. It's a starting point for you to go experience things back to where you're seeing the test and everything. But that's what makes you wise. Here's a starting point. That book didn't. So that's still a success. You know, that's still a visible term. So
yeah, I mean, and the post made it sound like, oh, well, you can be quote unquote unsuccessful by normal standards, and by whatever, and still be wise. But it's like, yeah, but then aren't you wise in the wrong way? Like, if you never succeeded at the thing, are you wise in the worst possible sense? Maybe not.
You're wise on how not to do it.
Yeah, that's where I was going, right? It's like if you were truly unsuccessful in whatever thing, right? And you know, let's be realistic about what success is. Like, did you achieve a thing? And whether that translates to money, whether that translates to some competition of some sort or some job, like some promotion, some sort of, like, that's really all I'm thinking. I'm not thinking about, you know, billions of dollars or notoriety and everybody knows your name kind of thing. It's being success. I mean, it's just simple success. Are you an expert in your particular circle that people seek out? If I had a question about a car problem or whatever, Nate now is my first call. Hey.
And then I'll tell you who to call.
Yeah, exactly. But really it's like, hey, I'm hearing this noise. I think it's, this is what's going on. Is it a big deal or is it not, kind of thing? And, or whatever, if I really had those questions, I know somebody I could call if I had questions about nutrition, right? Because you have experience in that. And success, right? Cause you did it.
Yeah.
And have done it. And right. It was a career. Like, I think that's, but if you're just somebody spouting out that advice, like you said, you're regurgitating information that you heard from somebody else or for some book and haven't really done the thing. Is it really wisdom? Are you really wise?
Yeah.
You may think you are. That doesn't mean you are. Right. You may feel wise. That doesn't mean you are wise. You may identify as a wise person.
Yeah.
But you're not. So, you know, there is, you know, but everyone can have an opinion, right? I may ask you guys about something. Hey, I'm thinking about this, or what about this? I was thinking of doing this thing, whatever it was, at least from starting a business to starting a different diet or starting a garden or putting a roof on the house or whatever. Like I could ask you guys, you guys are going to go either say, well, here's what I did, or I have no fucking clue, but I know this person, or here's what I would do.
Watch a YouTube video
and
find the wise person that actually did it. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we can all have opinions about things, but whether it's worthy advice or whatever.
I think we're full of opinions here.
Absolutely. but, you know, how many people, you know, I don't know.
I think a lot of people do. They read a book and then they, on Twitter there for a while, it seemed like everyone was reading, who is it? Marcus Aurelius or whatever.
They're
posting everything.
Stoicism. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're a philosopher. And it's like, you spouted this off. Does it really matter? Do you know the whole truth of what he's trying to say? It's like,
or does it?
Yeah.
And what are you trying to do by doing it? Like how many people are trying to play? Pretend
they're just rambling.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it though is right. It's people pretending, and especially with social media, projecting this image of something that they're not. Right.
Sayings. One of my grandmothers, what's the price of tea? Price of tea in China got to do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I still don't care.
You know, that's one of those things. It's like it's in the same vein of thought. Well, why does it matter? It just, yeah. It's like, I'm important.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that plays into emotion on this one. I want to be important. So if I sound important, more people will think I'm important. Where the wise guy may just not say anything and, you know, fear the man with one gun. I remember that on the range all the time. I'd hear that. And that was when my gun craze days when I had bought too many of them. And I'd hear comments like that. It took me the longest time to understand that comment. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in reading the story of Frank Hamer, who was a Texas Ranger and one of the ones that ultimately tracked and killed Bonnie and Clyde, he he was like that. Except that, you know, with modern times, there are certain weapons, you know, back then, whether it's a Thompson machine gun or is it a BAR, there's some of these rifles and guns that were becoming more prominent by people. And so he had to at least have knowledge of them. But yeah, he had his six shooter and that was it. And he'd practice so well, like one of those where you could flip a quarter and he could shoot it.
Shoot it. Yep.
And he was so good at, but part of it was ammunition is scarce. So you better be damn good.
Right.
And, but he'd carry his six shooter around to your point, Nate, and that's his gun. People would have all kinds of other things, but that's all he had. It's like kind of all he needed for most of his career. So, yep. So the
spray and pray method, it doesn't work all that well. It's a flip of the coin.
But that's a good point. Like how much of it is how much of somebody acting wise or trying to come off as wise is mere projection because they want the world to think they are. And maybe they're trying to is that in some ways people trying to convince themselves of their own worth in a way?
Yeah.
Or making
most of the people on Twitter. Yeah, maybe that's why I don't hang out on Twitter anymore because I got tired of all the people that were, and why I probably didn't do well on Twitter because it's like I said stuff most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time at face value. You know, I am almost too honest, too loyal to a fault. That it's like, all right, I'm not going to lie to you about something. It's like, yeah, this or that or whatever. It's like, that's where I fail at that salesman of the greasy car salesman. I just can't do it. I can't, you know, that's just not me. I'm not going to say the BS thing to get an emotional response. And that's where a lot of the guys do well on Twitter is they get those emotional responses that trigger more emotional responses, which get more people to follow and everything. And it's like,
yeah, I couldn't
just not me
from a sales perspective. I can't, it's you're either going to buy something from me or you're not.
Right. I'm not going to do the greasy car salesman.
Either hell yes or go fuck yourself.
Pretty much.
Well, and in college I had a job selling, is retail job selling men's clothes. And while there wasn't hard commissions, like you did have to make sales goals. And I almost got fired because I wasn't hitting them. But for whatever reason, something clicked in my head. And then I just like, it became easy. Like it wasn't. And I'm not sure what it was. Maybe some of it is there's a couple guys I went to high school with and we just sort of started clicking. And it just worked. And then it was friendly competition. And it's like, I bet you can.
So you were flirting with guys is what you're saying.
Actually, no. That's because I was the guy who would, if you walked into the store and you said, hey, just looking, I'd actually leave your ass alone. And then eventually, because I did that,
you'd be the guy they would talk to.
Ultimately they'd come and talk to because everyone else is trying to kind of get them to do something. And I'm the guy off, you know, doing something else while you guys were looking around. I said, hello and hi. Right. And lots of times people go, I'm just looking. It's like, yeah, I know. But I asked you, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks. Okay. And then I'd walk off. And then eventually they're like, hey, do you have this suit in navy blue instead of black? It's like, why, yes, or whatever. It's like, you know, and then I could,
Then you ramrod them.
Exactly. Then I could get them going. But it's like, I'm not going to force shit down your throat if you don't want to buy it. Like CJ was saying, it's either fuck yes or fuck no.
No. Yep. So. When you go on a car sales lot, the first question they ask you is, what color are you looking for? That's the wrong question to ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that's the last thing I'm going to worry about. But yeah, I'm right there. I'll talk to the guy that leaves me alone. Yeah, acknowledge me. Say hello. But just leave me alone. Don't ask me if I need anything. Just be like, hello. Hey, how's it going? One reasons why I'll even throw this out there, even though we're not sponsored, I shop at Lowe's over Menards, because just about everybody in Lowe's, my local one, comes by. Do you need anything? If you do, just holler or we'll find you or whatever. Menards, they'll walk right past you. And if you ask them a question, they're like, oh, yeah, I guess I do work here and I'm supposed to respond to you.
Wait, I can't just be mouth breathing over here.
Oh, they're mouth breathers too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
just a local pet peeve. That would go under local pet peeves. It's like,
well, going back to the topic, it's, you know, it just reminded me. I remember instructing in at a local high school doing drumline stuff. And this one particular class was the first one that I taught from freshman to them graduating. And I remember telling them when they graduated, it's like, so many people are going to try and give you advice about stuff to do, you know, what you should major in, what classes you should take, what job you should do, counselors, your parents, your friends, even me, I might suggest something, but you know, you got to figure shit out on your own. Like, take their advice, take their counsel, listen to what they have to say, but ultimately you need to make the decision and you need to decide what it is that you're going to do. And you know, how often for those that give whatever advice, it's well-intentioned, but how often is it really advice, worthy advice for whoever they're telling it to? How often are people giving advice because, like I've said, it's like to pump up their self-worth. They want to show that, I don't know, they're smart, or maybe they're coming off more like I care, and this, but in all reality, it's all bullshit.
Or it's the advice that they should take themselves.
Yeah, that's a good
projection.
Point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Advice they're giving themselves.
But they tell you.
Yeah.
Cause they think that you're actually going to listen to their advice, but they really need to be the one taking it.
I love those. Well, and how often, then how often do those folks ultimately follow that advice? Like,
never.
The people that project. yeah, that's what. And so it's like you're projecting, like, you know, you need to fix whatever problem, but yet, and you're giving advice to people for that, and yet
you don't, like, what's have that your disconnect? Own problem. Why fixed.
We don't want to acknowledge that, or we don't want to be honest, like, honestly look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm the fucking problem. Or this is a problem in my life? Are we just too afraid to face that? Or not we, the three of us, but...
Yeah, the collective we. I think there's a lot of that.
We
need pinwheels.
How old is that commercial?
I don't know. But that you recognize it makes me feel better. Pinwheels.
A relatively youthful cultural reference for CJ.
Was that what commercial was
progressive?
It for?
It was progressive.
Progressive.
Yeah. Was it progressive?
With the pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Babe for all intents and purposes.
Mm-hmm.
With pinwheels.
I wasn't sure if it was that them or Geico. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think it was progressive. Maybe, yeah.
Well, I think you're right. It was progressive. Geico didn't sound right, but
Whee!
Geico
had the caveman all the way home.
And, the caveman and the
that little, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, boy, we went shallow and deep tonight. Pretty good.
Yes. Fun times as always. So if you like what you heard, even if you don't, leave us a 5-star review, Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And if you don't like what we said, just let us know so we can tell you the fuck off.
Fuck off. Or if you need to, we can give you an address where you can send 55 gallons of lube and we will make sure to put it to good use.
Yes. Yeah, their way of telling us to go fuck ourselves.
Yeah, send us a barrel of lube. I think that's the best way, and we can go have some fun.
Yeah, sure, glide is running low.
Yeah.
So until next week, people, I hope you enjoyed.
On that note, yeah, tell one of your normie friends about us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.